It's good to see everybody out this morning. And some of the prayers that were offered, I think Aaron and his brother Drew and brother Keith offered some beautiful prayers. And I was thinking, it's such a blessing to be able to worship and be encouraged. But sometimes there's things that happen when we come together as a congregation that we don't talk about too much. And I can tell you this morning, I've had at least three dear sisters in Christ look me in the eye and ask me how I'm doing today. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is when we have brethren who care about us, who are not just asking like in the office where you walk through the hall at the office and they say, how you doing? Yeah, I'm all right. That kind of thing. No, you have people who care about you. They look in your eyes and they care about you. You know, on our break before, I overheard Brother Gordo and Brother Jesse talking about deep things, deep important things related to his sermon and to Jesse's sermon, and to be able to talk with brethren heart to heart about those kind of things. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Those are blessings that we need to appreciate, but they don't happen if we don't assemble. They don't happen. Those things don't happen. And I tell you what, that's what makes getting together and motivating us to get together all the more special. I want to continue in our series on leaders and leadership. And in this study, we're talking about different terms. Last time I talked about teachers. And today, we're going to focus on the word that's translated evangelist and words related to that. And this study is really a special study. I'll tell you about that in a second. So when we look for leaders, and we're talking about those who preach and teach the gospel, who minister, who evangelize, who proclaim the gospel, there's three words in the New Testament and that refer to the role of that man that does that. An evangelist is three times, preacher is four times, and minister is 18 times. And I hope that today we're going to focus on evangelist, and not just that word, but we're going to focus on a couple of things that I found in the study that really touched me, and hopefully they'll help us all. So here's some words that occur in the English New Testament. And here's the three places where you see the term evangelist used. In Acts 21 verse 8, we see Paul and his companions, they go to Caesarea, to the house of Philip the evangelist. This is Philip, the one who had went to Samaria, the one who was teaching and preaching in Samaria. He was one of the seven, it says, one of those fellows who were to attend the Hellenistic folks who were being overlooked, the widows in Acts chapter 6. He's one of those seven. Philip the evangelist. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. We see, but you be watchful. Paul speaking to Timothy. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. In the little parentheses, I've got the Strong's number for the word used here. We're going to talk about that in a second. So here, Paul is telling Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Ephesians 4:11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So here's a passage. It leads up to that beautiful context, goes into what we need to have a church that's doing all the things, working together in unity for the Lord. You know, and it's from our TV program we call Speaking the Truth in Love, comes from that context. Okay, evangelist is talked about as some, he, God, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And before we get into the word study, there's some thoughts I want to share with you because we need to keep some things in context. In my studies, I found that there's some scholars that say, from this passage, apostles, prophets, and evangelists were only temporary for the establishment of the early church, that now we only have pastors and teachers. I just want to let this start with us. I disagree with that. I disagree with that completely. We still have a need for evangelists.
The roles of preacher and evangelist, and you'll see that in our word study, are really synonymous in the Greek and are still needed workers in the kingdom of God for proclaiming and preaching the good news. So this is something just to start off with. You know, Gordo used some things that he found on the internet. You may see something that's from a scholar. Doesn't make it right. We need to check it with the Word of God and accept what God says. Those things can help sometimes, and I'll tell you how what happened with me on this sermon, but we need to keep in mind what God says. Timothy and Titus, they were uniquely qualified as evangelists, preachers, and ministers. They were given the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. They were guided directly by an apostle of Jesus Christ and were given revelations through Paul and the Holy Spirit that were not given to others. For example, the qualifications of elders and deacons and their wives was only given to Timothy and Titus. Women's role in teaching, etc. We do not have men with these unique blessings anymore. However, we men can follow their example in teaching, preaching, and encouraging in the gospel. A thought I had that, to kind of put this in context. Similarly, Paul was uniquely qualified as being an apostle, a preacher, a minister, and one who received direct revelation from Jesus Christ. We no longer have apostles or men who receive direct instructions or revelation from the Lord. However, we men can follow Paul's example and how he lived his life, encouraged brethren, reached out to the lost no matter where he was, and in the humility exhibited to all mankind. So here we have men who had unique qualifications. You know, a lot of the men in the New Testament had spiritual gifts that we don't have anymore. They had revelations because the word was not written yet. But that doesn't mean we can't follow the teachings and instructions on how these men lived and walked. And with regard, we're talking about being leaders in the church. So I wanted us to make sure we understand that. Now I want us to talk about the three terms. We've talked about the three times the term English in the English Bible evangelist is used in the New Testament. Now I want us to look into the meaning of it. And I want you guys all to get your Bibles out, because I want you to be ready to roll. Because we're gonna look at some scriptures, and doing this myself, it really helped me. So I want you all to be helped the same way. So get your Bibles out, because we'll be using them in a second. And the first word we're gonna talk about is where we get the term evangelist, and it's a transliteration. Now, we've talked a lot about transliterations before, and one of the ones we talk about the most is baptism. It comes from it's really what baptism means is immersion, but in the Greek, we have the word baptizo, so what's happened is we transliterate that into baptism, see? So you can understand. Well, evangelist is a similar path on that. Happens three times. We're going to use vines quite a bit in this study. A messenger of good. A preacher of the gospel. It's related to, and see, this is where we always talk about evangelists, but in the Greek it's euangelist. There's no V there. It's a U. But that's just kind of part of the process of this transliteration. But euangelizo, to proclaim glad tidings. Evangelion, good news, gospel. And then Vine summarized it. Missionaries or evangelists as being essentially preachers of the gospel. So that's talking about the word evangelist. And you think, well, okay. Happens three times. Talked about it. We're done. You ever look for something? You look real hard. You look in his trunk. Or you look in a car, or you look in your room, or you look in the house, and you're looking for one thing, and when you're looking for one thing, you find something more important. Ever happened to you? You ever search for something? I know I misplaced this, and you go and you look, and you find it, but then you find something really more precious there. That's what happened to me in this study. I think about last year, Jesse went to a devotional, in Middle Tennessee. And I said, honey, how did that go? And I thought she'd tell me, oh yeah, it went pretty good. She said, Daddy, there was one lesson that really touched my heart about how women ought to be. And the inner beauty of women. And then I said, really? That's pretty cool. She goes, here, I got some notes. She showed me her notes all written out. And I had asked her about how things had went, but then when she showed me what she had, it was much more important. And I actually used some of those notes in her sermon. You see, sometimes when we look for something, and I know you're all wondering, what am I talking about? What am I talking about? In the late 1800s, a preacher, an evangelist, wrote an article about what we're going to be studying. Now, he didn't have the modern tools of lexicons and online dictionaries and online concordances and all this stuff. He had to do it by hand. But I read this article about how this term for evangelist appears three times in the New Testament. And he said some people get the wrong idea that it's not that important. And then he went on to talk about these two other Greek words that are throughout the New Testament that are directly related. It's a beautiful thing because I was telling Beth, I said, this fella had to go through the Greek and count one by one where these things were. We don't appreciate the blessings we got. We can turn to the internet and search things, and I don't know half the things a lot of you guys know, but let me show you something. Here's the first example. Okay, the next word, evangelizo. I'm going to call it evangelizo because that makes, I can say that easier. It's another transliteration. It's number Strong's number 2097. You can look it up in any Strong's related thing. It occurs 61 times in 52 verses in the King James Version. And 23 times is translated preach. Preach the gospel is translated 22 times. Now do you see what I'm getting at? This idea of preaching the gospel, of proclaiming the gospel, is a lot more important than just three times occurring in the New Testament. It's a lot more important than that. It permeates the entire New Testament. And when we look at vines, the definition, and I've kind of sorted through some of the definitions here so it's clearer. But this read what we have on the screen. It's almost always used of the good news concerning the Son of God as proclaimed in the gospel. With reference to the gospel, the phrase to bring, to declare good or glad tidings, to preach good tidings. And then there's a reference back to Vine's, the definition of gospel in English. So it's the gospel. It's preaching the gospel. 61 times it's referred to. The New Testament. Do we not see the point? Now, get your Bibles out. Luke 4, verse 18. We're going to read a few verses real quick. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Acts chapter 13, verse 32. And this is one of those times when I know you guys that have the electronic Bibles, you can beat me any day. Acts 13:32, and we declare to you glad tidings, that promise that was made to the fathers. Glad tidings here. The glad tidings here is talking about the gospel. Romans 10, verse 15, one we're well familiar with. How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. In this verse, we've got two of these words in the same verse, talking about the gospel and the good news. Hebrews 4, verse 2. Hebrews 4, verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Gordo talked about trials. It's all in our attitude whether they profited us. You know what? The gospel's the same way. You know, we can hear the gospel, we can read the gospel, we can be aware of it, but what do we do with it? See, we need to put it in action. That's when it's good. Here it says, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Shame on them. Shame on any of us where the gospel doesn't profit us. Okay, let's go to the next same word, a secondary definition from minds. A secondary definition that's really, really cool. Okay. It means to bring or announce glad tidings. Evangelize. You know that word we get? Evangelize. The English word. To bring or announce glad tidings. Declare, to proclaim, to preach glad tidings of persons to whom the proclamation is made. Okay, here it's talking about not only the one proclaiming, but those who hear it. It relates to them as well. Declare glad tidings. The word of the Lord, the gospel, the faith, peace, the unsearchable riches of Christ. These are all related to this term, evangelizo, which talks about bringing glad tidings. And here, Vines cross-references preach and show. And show is spelled in the Old English from the King James Version. That's show, S-H-O-W, we would call it, and tidings. And now you can see why I wanted you to have your Bibles open. Matthew 11, verse 8. Matthew 11, verse 5, pardon me. Here Jesus is responding to John's disciples, asking about him, whether he's the coming one. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And you know, I'll tell you right now, that was the best blessing of that verse. We have these miraculous healings, but the best thing that was going on was the gospel was being preached. Acts 5, verse 42. And that's a passage we're well familiar with. Acts 5, verse 42. After the apostles had been beaten and told to not preach anymore, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. There's our word again for bringing the glad tidings. Acts 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Everybody's involved here. Verse 12. Here we go back to Philip. Remember Philip, the evangelist we talked about? Here's Philip. Here's Philip in action. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So we see Philip is preaching. It says in verse 5, he preached Christ to him. The gospel is synonymous with preaching Christ. And now what's the result? Men and women are being baptized. Acts 11, verse 20. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. There's our evangelizing word again. There's this proclaiming of the truth again. Preaching of the Lord Jesus. Acts 15, 35. Acts 15, 35. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So here in Antioch, teaching and preaching the Lord is going on. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 15. Here we have our word again. For as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. We see our word evangelizo here in talking, and we can see from these two verses how important that word is. And it's the word that we need to be preaching and teaching and sharing with the world and with our friends and with each other and our families. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. Wow, what a statement. Paul brought the gospel to the Corinthian brethren. We studied about all the problems they had. He says, I declared it to you, I preached it to you, you received it, and in which you now stand. The gospel is powerful. And when people receive it, a lot of good things can happen. A lot of good things. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. The gospel is intended to be pure, unadulterated, not perverted, purely held and spread. And we're going to talk about this. There's a verse that's really cool that relates to that aspect of it. In a moment we'll get to it. Verse 11 of Galatians 1. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. The gospel that we preach is according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Paul's role, his primary role, was to go to the Gentiles. He would preach to anybody along the way, any Jews, any of his countrymen. And we read in the last verses of the book of Acts, he preached to anybody who came, preach and teach. But here his emphasis is on the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off. Again, here's the preaching of the gospel, the evangelizo of the gospel. To who? It's to the Gentiles, those who are far off. A reference to that here again. Ephesians 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. Now here Paul, and we had Gordo talk about what Paul went through for the cause of Christ. Here's how he looks at himself. Who am less than the least of all the saints. When you read that and we know what Paul did and what he could do, it really shows his humility, doesn't it? A lot of times we get kind of puffed up in what maybe we do or say or whatever. Let's be like Paul. Let's be like Paul. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He counted it a privilege to evangelizo to the Gentiles. That's what's going on. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Here's that word again. The word of the Lord endures forever. 1 Peter 4, verse 6. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And here I think it's referring to those who are spiritually dead. If you have friends who are not Christians, they are spiritually dead, and what they need is the gospel. What they need is the gospel so that they can live according to God in the Spirit, as Peter says here. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished as he declared to his servants, the prophets. You'll find our word evangelizo in this verse. Revelation 14, verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. So again, this word, all these things we've been talking about have to do with this wonderful word, this wonderful one Greek word that we have. And I tell you what, the more I dig into it, the more I see God's wisdom in revealing the New Testament in the Greek language. It's really a cool thing. Okay, let's go to our third word. Evangelion. This occurs 77 times in 74 verses. And out of those 77, 46 times are talking about the gospel. 11 times, the gospel of Christ. 7 times, the gospel of God. 3 times, the gospel of the kingdom. And you can look at what Vines says about it. He said it originally had to do with a reward for good tidings, but later, the reward was dropped and the word stood for the good news itself. The English word gospel, our word gospel, that's comes from here. Okay, gospel.
good message is the equivalent of evangelion or evangel.
There's where we get our English word evangelical or evangelist or evangelizing. It's all part of that root.
In the New Testament, it denotes the good tidings of the kingdom of God and of salvation through Christ to be received by faith on the basis of his I didn't understand what that death was, but I didn't look up that. I intend to look up that word, and I need to. His burial, resurrection, and ascension. So here we have this word that ties in the good news with what Jesus did. The good news with what Jesus did. That's what this evangelion has to do with. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Here we have this idea, the gospel of the grace of God. And 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. One through three. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Here's a really neat passage that ties in two of these Greek words talking about evangelizo or evangelion of the proclaiming of the gospel. In verse 3, we see how it's intricately tied to Jesus dying for our sins. That's all part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7 is one we referred to earlier, and we referred to the verse after it earlier. And we're going to go to the verse before, Galatians 1:7, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So it's not to be perverted, not to be tainted, not to be stained. And in verse 11, here we have, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. Here we have both those Greek words in that passage. In Galatians 2:2. Galatians 2:2. And I went by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of the reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Here the gospel is talked about as what Paul preached to them and how precious that gospel is. I'm going to look at the second translation of this word. And note some things about this. It is the gospel of God, His Son. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of Christ, the grace of God, the glory of the blessed God, your salvation, peace, and also has to do with the gospel of the kingdom, an eternal gospel. We've got a lot of verses here. We're going to hold off and we'll continue with that part next time. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 14, though. Galatians 2, verse 14. And let's read this together and then we'll draw our lesson to a close here. But when I saw, and this is Paul speaking to the Galatians, and let's see who else is with him. So talks about all the brethren with him in verse 2 of chapter 1. So I can't remember from our study who exactly was with Paul at this time. But notice what he says. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? What's interesting about this verse is Peter was playing the hypocrite. He wouldn't associate with the Jews when they came in.
He'd be with the Gentiles when there was no Jews around, but when the Jews came, he kind of segregated himself from them.
Paul confronted them. And why did he confront them?
But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel.
You see, what we see in this verse is something really special about the gospel. And I've got it up on the screen. In Galatians 2:14, the truth of the gospel denotes not the true gospel, but the true teaching of it, in contrast to perversions of it. You see, what Peter was doing is, in his actions, he was perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great lesson for us there?
What we do, we represent Jesus. And we represent what is supposed to be the gospel in action through our lives. When we do things that are hypocritical, or we do things that are contrary to the Lord, we've now perverted that message.
No longer are we shining the light of Jesus like we should,
but we're actually, in essence, putting a bushel over. That's what Paul confronted in Peter here. The gospel is too precious. It's not to be tainted. It's not to be used hypocritically. It's not to be misconstrued or used to personal gain. It's to be kept in its purity and its truth. And in that, you need to get out of the way and let it do its work. And that's what I get from this verse.
If you're not a Christian this morning, you know, there's a passage in Acts chapter 2. You want to talk about what the gospel is all about. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, this is Peter, on the day of Pentecost, be saved from this perverse generation.
We are living in a world that is just as perverse as it was then. Salvation is in the gospel. Power of God is in the gospel. The power to come to the Lord and humble yourselves to Him, to repent of your sins and to be forgiven and to have them washed away, the power is in the gospel. That's how we learn about it. That's how we know what to do to obey the Lord.
See, as we said before, the power of the gospel can, in our own lives, can be squelched if we don't embrace it. We don't humble ourselves to it, and we don't obey it, and we don't live it.
If we can help you now, please come forward while we stand and sing.